Hello, welcome back to Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going?
Not too bad. We're doing this call. So normally we do this on Squadcast, which we are right now, but like we've got the video up and we're looking at each other and we'll comment on like what's going on. And the one time where that's not the case is when I'm doing the call from my treehouse. A nice change of scenery. But regardless, yeah, we've got this little treehouse out in the backyard. It's not that little. It's actually pretty good size. Got electricity. One of the main reasons we bought the house is I always wanted a tiny home office in the backyard. But I'm never going to spend the money to build it. And when this already had it, I was like, oh, sick. But yeah, I'll have this for, I don't know, like a year and a half, maybe 2 years before it is taken over. So trying to enjoy it. But yeah, really just trying to get everything ready before the baby comes, theoretically in a month and a half, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But how are things on your end?
Nice. Yeah, things are good. Things are good. I went up earlier today into Massachusetts and met with one of our investors, had coffee in person. So that was really cool. First time to do anything like that. And then doing something else tomorrow, also in Boston with like a potential partner. So like, it's like old school doing business in person kind of stuff these days, which is really cool. I mean, it's one of the reasons we wanted to move to this area. So like, you know, we're an hour to Boston, we're 3 hours to New York.
Do you drive?
So I drove today because it wasn't in Boston. It was in the suburbs. But tomorrow I may take the train because it's downtown and we can just
don't drive.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I can just go to Providence, get the train, and I think it's quicker than driving even. So yeah, that's possible. And yeah, so that's cool. It's cool.
As far as like topics to dig into, I know we both have a lot of longer term things that we're trying to figure out, and are probably too early to really even. It's sort of like those rambling conversations that we have before we hit record, where it would not make for great listening because we got to just get a little bit farther along ourselves. But I don't know, the stuff that I'm excited about as far as practical things that we are up to is we actually have a good amount coming up. There's been this one big release that has been in QA for almost a month, and that obviously shows the shortcomings of our product process, but it's also been the fact that we're really pushing to just have better quality for when it goes public and really trying to dial in the product and make it as seamless, as intuitive to use as possible. And that's really what this release is about. It's not a redesign. It's almost like a refactoring of the layouts of a lot of things. And it's cleaning things up and adding a good amount of functionality. So that, I think, will be out tomorrow. So super excited about that.
Nice.
And then trying to just figure out, okay, like what do I know the product process is kind of fucked. How do I improve it so that like we don't delay things this much, but still keep the quality bar hi. So I'm not sure if you have any thoughts or questions on that.
Oh man, I have so many thoughts on that. It's not just you or not just me. Like everyone I talk to, like this is one of like the things that is never done, right? It's like the product is never done and the product process is never done. Oh, this is a mega topic. Like I would just say that like to me, there are bad indicators, you know, which surprisingly are like things like test coverage that we want to measure and say like, oh, 60% of our code base is covered with unit tests. But like the unit test can be covering like not helpful things is like what we have found. And then there's other metrics like support requests or customer happiness scores and things like that, which I think are also bad because like if a customer emails you, you're already losing. Right? Like you should get zero. And so like, I don't know what the answer is, but just saying that like, I don't think either of those are like the metrics to track and those be the only ones. Maybe those are, they're like, they tell part of the story.
We don't really track metrics.
Okay.
So I mean, it's like that is something that we're like starting to think about working on, but actually like it's because of more my experience that's similar to like what you're talking about, where I just feel like so many companies spend a ton of time getting this analytics infrastructure set up to measure all these things. And it's like, okay, like how is this impacting anything you're doing? Like, are you actually acting on this? Or is it just at best tea leaves that you're trying to read? And are there things we know we could measure? Yes. Are there things we could measure and know that we have the bandwidth to act on? Probably not. Like, I think there are things where it's like, it might redirect the ship a little bit, like, oh, this is a bigger problem than we thought we had. And that is more now why, like, I'm trying to figure out the 80-20 of what are the basics to get in place. But yeah, we are not at all metrics driven in that sense.
Yeah.
I'm trying to plan out a basic scorecard for probably next quarter of what are the issues we need to resolve? How do we track how frequently they happen? How impactful they are? That sort of thing. But yeah, it's really just taking the point of view that, I don't know, I just feel like there's so much obvious stuff to me. I don't need more data, and I don't want to pull the devs off to, like, get us more data. But yeah, so long aside, but it's me just saying, like, yeah, we are not a metrics driven company.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't think that's wrong. You know, I think that what, like we say is like the metrics tell part of the story. And then there's subjective things that we see, like growth, you know, or team happiness and, you know, like the things that customers are saying when we're engaging with them that like tell the other part of the story. I like to have metrics because the other stuff is hard to aim for, you know, and hard to be intentional about. Whereas like percent of code covered by tests is easy. And like, I think that gets us kind of going the right direction, but definitely doesn't tell the whole story. And so like, it's not all of our focus either. So like, I think that's a nice way to parse some of that out.
And I think what makes it easier for us to take this approach where I'm confident we're not giving up much edge is that like our team outside of small hand, like a 2 to 3 developers are in this space every day. Like they are playing DFS. They are using our tools. They are doing all this stuff as their passion. And so, and they're like in our Slack channel, our Slack server has like 3,000 people and it's very active. And our support people are playing DFS themselves, like all of this stuff. So it's we are dog fooding our own product. So we know what works and what doesn't. But we know that can be a little bit insular. So it's like, we also though have a very good relationship with our customers and we're constantly interacting with them. And I think that gives us the leeway to be more qualitative is because one, we are our best customers, but two, we actually are talking to the customers regularly. And I frankly just couldn't, I know this is on a super tangent, but I just can't imagine running a business in a space that I didn't know intimately well. I mean, I get that you can't always have your entire team have that same level of intimacy, but I think you got to have somebody. And I know you guys are great. Like you have, I mean, this podcast here, you've been podcasting with Dave forever. Matt's got the podcast. Like you've got a core group that does that. So I think it frees you up a little bit to not have to wonder what the workflow's like and all of that. But
yep.
I don't know. That's just kind of where we're at.
Yeah. I would say like, unless you are a team of product people, and I think about like Ben Orenstein and Tuple, and maybe like even Rob and Derek with Drip, right? Like the only people at that, those companies are product people. I think they might be the only ones that can get ahead of this and like build a great product from the beginning. Whereas like you and I as non-technical people and or like, you know, we adopted some of the things that we're working on now, like have this balance of like our marketing and sales and revenue brain versus I think some of the more product focused people like just want to build a great product and then kind of know the business will take care of itself from there. Like, I wonder if that's part of it or they just have a better product process. Maybe that's the answer.
I would say is that I don't think it's that they are more product focused than I am. I think it's that, at least with the examples you gave, it's like they're all programmers. So they can more intuitively grasp the technical trade-offs of, okay, how hard is it to do it this way? How much extra work is to do it a little bit better? And all those things were, for me, so much of, I feel like, so we're actually like launching a new podcast where it's interesting where we're going to be just recording team conversations as we try to figure out different problems, and we'll like pick one thing at a time to focus on. So like right now, if you go to DraftKings.com, there's going to be like 100 different contests you could play if you want to play DFS baseball tonight. We're doing a lot of analysis to figure out like what are the best ones to play. And it's just like not a simple question to answer when there's different buy-in levels or different number of entries you can put in each contest and all that sort of thing. And so what I've realized is that we think significantly deeper about this than any other company in our space. But our customers don't really know that. We'll come out of these rabbit holes with, here's a piece of content that summarizes what we found at best. But I think there's a lot of people that would really appreciate hearing the raw conversations we have as we figure it out. And it will just show the expertise and everything that we're doing behind the scenes that no one else is doing. And so even when I'm on these, when I'm on these calls with, today is with Eric, who is one of our data scientists. And it's like, I have to spend a lot of time figuring out, okay, what is theoretically possible here? And then what is actually realistic to do? So I know that like I piss these guys off when I have some of these conversations. Like people will hear this in some of these calls where I will just keep pushing, like, well, like, couldn't we do it this way? Or couldn't we, what about this? What about that? And they're like, I'm not saying you need to do all these things. I just want to figure out in my head, okay, here is as close to perfect as a solution as we can get, but I don't know how hard these things are to do. So let me just at least know where we can go. And then we'll work together to try to like figure out that 80-20 of what's a reasonable amount of effort. And on the product process for more of just like standard app development, I still get surprised every day about like, oh yeah, this is way harder than I thought. Or sometimes it gets clear to me like, oh, I wasn't that clear about what I meant, because when I explained it a different way, he was like, oh yeah, I thought this would take like a day and now it's going to take an hour because I just didn't get what you meant. And it's not having the full context makes it very inefficient. And when I felt like we were further behind, I was just like, all right, like we're going to put out, like I'm not going to dig in all these details because it's not worth the time. We just got to move. But I really do feel now like we're industry leading. And as we're in this spot, I'm just like, no, like let's really figure this out and do it right. Even if like I have to slow us down to try to get to the bottom of all of it.
The other part of that, kind of going back to like founders doing this versus team members, is I think there's, and developers might argue with me on this, is there's a, yeah, totally we can do this kind of attitude that I think comes from a lot of developers that's unhealthy, as opposed to like, I don't know, let me take 2 days to find out the answer, or no, that's not the right way to do it. And you're doubling the work for 10% of the benefit, or some of these kind of things. And I think that like, this is where a technical co-founder could really be advantageous, where there's just less of the, you know, boss-employee kind of relationship. But even as much as, you know, I want to be peers with everyone that works at Castos, like I'm their boss, and like subliminally, at least, and even they know that. And like sometimes they don't want to tell me bad news, and sometimes they don't want to tell me that they're already behind when I ask for an update. Whereas like I think a co-founder is more readily able to give that information, I think is part of what you're getting at. And like I 100% will never do this again without a co-founder that's technical, because I think it's just so important.
Yeah, you're playing on hard mode, and It's not even because you don't fully understand it, but it's that you need the right people to work with. Which it seems like you have, but it's like you need to find the people who can work with someone who isn't the technical expert too, and can kind of understand where they're coming from and bridge that gap. And yeah, I mean, this is where Matt and I mean, I've worked together since day one, and he obviously had a few years on the product solo before we teamed up. But like, I will still often push back with him. I'm like, well, if we do it that way, yes, that will take the same amount of time, but like there's got to be like a simpler thing we can do here, right? And then we'll go back and forth. And a lot of times there's not, but sometimes there is. But if we go back and forth on that, And he's like, no, like, this is it. And I can just wrap my head around. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. And it will move on. But it's, yeah, you need somebody who can push back in a way that is collaborative, where it's like, they're not just arguing to argue. It's like, they have an opinion and they're not just going to be steamrolled, but they'll be open to changing. And it's sort of that cliche of strong opinions loosely held. I feel like that's really a valuable skill. And I mean, Ben has been with us for a while, but nowhere near as long as Matt, obviously, and he really has that too. So I've been fortunate in that, like, the technical partners on this are able to work with my personality and able to help me bridge that gap. But yeah, it's still just a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I know we've kind of gone on a lot of different tangents and really dug into some things we weren't necessarily planning on, but I guess just big picture before we wrap up, what are you guys working on that we can look forward to tuning into in future weeks? And I can say the same on my end.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I'd like to do, maybe we'll deep dive into some of our marketing stuff in a coming episode. We have a lot of decisions we're making around how we're approaching, you know, inbound marketing, content, and SEO. I think a lot of it is really traditional and we just need to do a better job of it. I think you are a big champion of this, of just like, hey, there's probably more that you can get out of this channel than you think. And that's kind of where I'm settling these days. And then I'm also settling on, like, we need to do some things that are really different, because kind of half-assing the really creative stuff is not worth it. So that's a lot of things that we have made a lot of these decisions and are in kind of implementation mode. And then really thinking through some kind of like disruptive stuff with a product that is coming. And that's a lot of fun, because it's like the whiteboard thing. And like, I had an hour call today with like three other super smart people on the team. And we just thought through a lot of things. And at the end, it was like, of course, this is what we should do, because, you know, a bunch of us on the call thinking through the same thing with the same kind of goals and intentions, just like, it was really cool. It created a really good outcome. So that was really fun. And like, those times really make me wish that we were in person, because I know those would happen a lot more often. And that's the downside of remote, is you got to be really intentional about like, hey, let's just have a brainstorming session about this thing. And we probably don't do that often enough.
Not to throw a grenade into things, but I mean, do you think there's value in surfacing some of those brainstorming conversations to publicly? Because like, if you guys are digging into the product side of things, so, okay, like, here's what we could do to help better serve creators and this audience, they're probably thinking about it too, or at least would like to hear people who are thinking about it.
Yeah, so we do record all those calls. There are definitely things in there that are things we need to keep private, but I think there are definitely things that we could kind of pull out and be good. Yeah, good use cases of like how we think about product and business and monetization and supporting creators and stuff. So yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah, and this is definitely a topic for another week, but that's really what our motivation was behind this. Was like, it was a hard one to get across to the team. We're like, no, guys, like, literally, it's just like the normal call we do. And like, yeah, but it's like, how should I be presenting? It's like, no, like, I'm just going to be talking to you and asking you the same questions that like I'm already asking. Like, this is literally our normal call. And like, yes, we'll have to be like somewhat cautious around like the level of detail in certain things. But truly, like, these calls are are raw, unedited calls. And I just think it's a way to stand out in crowded spaces to show the level of thought you're putting into things, assuming you are, which you are, and we are, and that like our best customers are putting that thought in as well. And so when we can show them that we're doing that, I feel like that has a massive impact. And it's not something that someone else can just copy, because if their team doesn't have the people who can have these conversations, it's a non-starter. But even then, you can't just like force it. This has to be part of what you're already doing. So I think it'll be an interesting experiment. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, definitely excited to dig into some of these marketing strategies and thoughts in coming weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. And just a little teaser, I have been recording some of that myself, just like from a founder level. And I'm going to be at some point like packaging up and selling it as like a, you know, private podcast audiobook kind of experience, like a year later, right? It'll be like the JFK files, like time capsuled, and then yeah, sell it. Cause there's, I mean, you, as you know, man, like the shit we're going through right now is super valuable for people that are at 20K a month right now. Like if they could learn the things that are really going on with us, like that would be massive, I think. So yeah, I've been kind of recording some of those in day one and going to be
right. And it's not even just about the business side of it, but like when you're talking about what direction to take the podcasting platform, it's because you have opinions on where podcasting is going. And if someone is just dipping their toe in the water or they're full-time podcasting, that's all they're thinking about. Like that's what they want to know. And so if they can be like, oh, these people are thinking about this too. Like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Like, oh, I'm super excited about this. Like that stuff makes a huge impact because again, it's just your competitors aren't doing that. But yeah, it's a caveat of like, yeah, you have to give a shit and you have to put the work in, which is not easy.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Well, this was one of those meandering ones, but I don't know. I feel like we covered a lot of things. If there are any topics that anyone listening wants us to dig into more, things we said that they vehemently disagree with, whatever it may be, don't hesitate to reach out at podcast@seekingscale.com. But regardless of that, we really appreciate you tuning in. Craig, it was great catching up.
Always. Thanks, Andy. We'll talk to you guys later.
All right. See everybody.